that Jesus was this root out of the dry ground. That the David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it said that he would have a seed on the throne forever. Forever that David's seed would roam, would reign on the throne. But you know what happened? The line terminated at the end of the Old Testament.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of This Is Love, Foretold by the Prophets. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of This Is Love, Foretold by the Prophets.
To Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. As we come this morning, we've been looking, if you could go ahead with the PowerPoint. As we come this morning, we've been looking to the love of God. And we said, this is love. And we looked at several things. This is love that one would give his life for another person. This is love that it's a personal relationship, and that this is love today, the fact that it was foretold by the prophets. As we look ahead, we see that our hearts are being prepared for three things as we move upon what we call Holy Week. We look at Christ's death, we look at Christ's burial, and we look at Christ's resurrection. So as we prepare our hearts for this time, we've been doing a series of messages that leads us up to that point. As we continue to examine things, we see that God is at work. And God was at work long before Jesus came. And we've been looking at the events, the church holiday, and then God's program. The events, Jesus rides into Jerusalem, and we call that Palm Sunday, and that is, you know, what we celebrate. We'll be looking at that in a couple of weeks here, but as we look at God's calendar, it was actually the Sunday that they selected the lamb for the Passover. We see the Last Supper, that we call it, when Christ shared a meal with his disciples. We call that Maundy Thursday, when in actuality, the reason that Jesus was gathered with his disciples was to share the Passover meal, that they came together to remember the Passover found back in the book of Exodus. When Christ was crucified, we call that Good Friday. But it is interesting to note that that was the same day that the Passover lamb was killed. The same day that the Passover lamb was killed. And then the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we call that Easter. But if we go back to the Old Testament, it talks about first fruits. And that first fruits was the symbol of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these things have been foretold long before Christ came, that they were on God's holy calendar way before we began to give it these names that we call it today. And so we look at God's program and understand, you know, what is God doing. Today, our travels lead us to Isaiah 53, where we talk about it was foretold by the prophets. It was foretold by the prophets. That long before Jesus came to earth in Bethlehem's manger, the prophets talked about the love that God would send. And as we go through Isaiah 53 this morning, I want you to see that we'll be going through a lot of movements and a lot of changes, and that's why I did extensive notes this morning. Usually my notes are not this extensive. They're so extensive that I had to shrink it from a 12-point font to 11 to get it all in there. But I want us to see that all that we're going to be dealing with today, that this is love. That the prophets talked about this love. Isaiah talked about the love that God sent through Jesus Christ. So I want to start by talking about the blindness to the Savior. The blindness to the Savior. In verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." The scripture begins by saying, who hath believed our report? Isaiah was talking to the people, and he was trying to tell them about a Messiah who would suffer and who would die for their sins. But no one believed his testimony. It says here, who hath believed our report? That Isaiah said, I've been preaching my heart out. He said, I've been telling you about this promised Messiah. And the nation as a whole struggles to receive this message about Jesus Christ. And it says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord in the Bible is his strength. So anytime you see the hand or the arm of the Lord in the scriptures, that means God's strength. Well, what is God's strength here? God's strength is his plan of salvation through his suffering son. God said that my plan is for my son to come and die and to bring salvation to the world. And that's my arm. That's my strength. And Isaiah said, people are having a hard time accepting that they were blinded to the Savior. Have you ever tried to tell somebody something and they just wasn't getting what you were trying to say? I think about this one brother that we get into it all the time, especially when it comes around Christmas, because he asked me, you know, why I celebrate Christmas. He said, Christmas is a pagan holiday. And he runs all this stuff down about December 25th and why Jesus wasn't born December 25th. And he runs all that down. And I said, you know, I know all that. I said, I know all that. And the reason that I celebrated, I mean, it could have been any other time of the year, but the reason that I celebrated and put special emphasis is because I'm celebrating the fact that my Savior came into the world. That my Savior came into the world to die on the cross for my sin. And then he'll come and say, but Bill, that's a pagan holiday. Why you want to celebrate? And this is what he'll say, quote unquote. Why you want to celebrate them European holidays? And so we go back and forth. And so I said, look, bro, instead of us staying here, you trying to convince me, you know, what you believe, and me trying to convince you what I believe, I said, it seems like we've come to loggerheads and we're going absolutely nowhere, so it's just best that we terminate this conversation and move on to something else. Because, you know, you're preaching your heart out. You are preaching your heart out to try to convince me that your way is right. And I'm trying to preach my heart out to show you that my way is right. And neither one of us are making any headway. So that's kind of the way that Isaiah felt, right? Isaiah felt that, man, I'm preaching to these people. And they've been, if you could put that slide back up there, and they are just blinded to what I'm trying to say. They can't see what I'm trying to say. And, you know, there may be a time in our lives that we were blinded to the Savior. You know, there are people that come to church every Sunday. And I hope that there's no people in the congregation like that this morning. But there are people that come to church every Sunday, year after year, sit there, hear the word of God, and then even at the end of the message, hear me give an invitation, and that they sit there and they're not saved. And you are putting your faith, you are putting your trust in something else. And so it looks like we've been blinded to the Savior. We've been blinded to the Savior. The second thing that we see is the lowliness of the Savior. The lowliness of the Savior. It says, for he shall grow up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So if you look at your notes this morning, we'll look at the lowliness of the Savior. This arm of the Lord, this strength of the Lord, would grow up before him like a tender plant. A tender plant was a branch that shot out from a tree that was cut down. And here we see that the reference is to Jesus coming from the kingly line of David. That Jesus was this root out of the dry ground. That David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it said that he would have a seed on the throne forever. Forever that David's seed would reign on the throne. But you know what happened? The line terminated at the end of the Old Testament. And there was no more king on the throne. But Isaiah says this. Isaiah says that he's going to come up like a tender plant and like a root shot up. And notice what it said, the dry ground. The line of David was dead. It was dry. It was over. But this root would shoot up out of the dry ground. It's talking about a king. It's talking about the fact that Jesus would come as king. But notice this. Think about a king. A king comes in all his pomp and circumstance. The king comes with the crown. The king comes surrounded by all the fanfare. But notice what distinctly it says about this king. It says that this king has no form or comeliness. He has, what that means is that, you know, there's nothing that would attract us to him. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing attractive in Christ. If you put that slide back up. There was nothing attractive in Christ that people would desire him. He came as a shepherd, and the only reason that he received any acknowledgement at all was because of the miracles that he did. If he didn't do miracles, he would have had a far less crowd than he had. But just based upon his personality and based upon the way he looked, that this was not a king that people were looking for. He came lowly. There was nothing that people looked at and said, man, you know, I'll follow after this guy. Like I said, the only reason they followed him was because of the miracles that he did. The lowliness of the Savior. That he humbled himself and was born in a manger. And it talked about the fact that the foxes have their holes, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. Nowhere to lay his head. He came meek and lowly. He didn't come reigning and ruling in power and authority. The lowliness of the Savior. And then we see the work of the Savior. Or the plight of the Savior, excuse me. The plight of the Savior. Look at verse 3. The plight of the Savior. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Notice there in your notes. He was despised, even though he was loved by some. He was hated by many. He was rejected, even though he was followed by some. He was rejected by many. He had sorrows, even though he had joy. His life was filled with many sorrows. He had grief, even though this word generally means sickness. Here it means that he caused things that he experienced things that caused him anguish and grief. Men hid their faces from him. Even though there are various interpretations to this phrase, it means that people turned their faces from him because they felt offended by his ministry. And even some could not look upon him when he died upon the cross. That they turned their faces from him. He was not esteemed. The Savior of all mankind was given absolutely no value. He was rejected. He was despised and rejected by men. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The plight of the Savior. Despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. People turned their faces from him, and they did not esteem him. And we might say, well, that was the people back in Jesus' day. If you could put that slide back up. That was the people in Jesus' day. That's what they did. That they balled their fists. That they pointed their fingers. But need I remind us, in the words of the songwriter who said this, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Years I spent with my fists balled. Years I spent with my finger shaking. Years I spent in vanity and pride. And just like these guys on this day rejected the Savior, that there was a time in my life, I can't speak for you, but I know there was a time in my life when I rejected the Savior. And that's the plight of the Savior. And then we see the work of the Savior. The work of the Savior in verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus bore the grief and the sorrows of humanity. And you know what? As you read this text here, it's almost like, as I was studying the commentaries, that they were saying, well, some people thought, well, Jesus got what he deserved. He got what he deserved. Look what it says there. They said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did. We looked at him as stricken. We looked at him as smitten of God. He was the one that was under judgment. That he must have did something wrong. The reason that this man is dying on the cross, the reason that this man is hanging on the cross is because he must have did something wrong. And he's hanging there because he's paying for a crime that he committed. But Isaiah said, oh, that's wrong thinking. Don't think that way. Because he goes on in the next verse and he straightens it out. Notice what he says here. He was wounded for our transgressions. He didn't die on the cross for something that he did wrong. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That word bruised actually means to be crushed to powder. That he was crushed to powder for your iniquities, for the evil thoughts that you have, for the wrong deeds that you have done, for the times when you committed sins not only against God, but you committed a sin against somebody else. That's why he hung on that cross. And as you look at him hanging on the cross, that we need to realize that this is the work of the Savior. That the Savior died on the cross. Look at that. He didn't die because he did something. He didn't die because he did something wrong. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. We were in turmoil. He was chastised for our peace. And he was beaten with a whip. His back was torn open. There was a crown of thorns jammed on his head. He was punched. He was smacked. He was mocked. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, by the stripes on his back, if Christ didn't take the... Notice, this passage in Isaiah could have went bad real fast. And you know how? Just think about capital punishment. In the Old Testament, capital punishment was stoning. The Jewish people exercised capital punishment by stoning. And it just so happened that the Romans were in authority at that time. And the Roman form of capital punishment was crucifixion. And oftentimes before the crucifixion, you got it. They would whip the criminal with a whip. And just think, Isaiah prophesied this years before it happened. And if there was any other form of execution, this verse would have came up short. By his stripes, by the wounds on his back, we are healed. You think about how that should have been us. That should have been me. That should have been you that received that beating. And the thing about our stripes, it wouldn't have healed anything. Our stripes wouldn't have healed anything. But because God stepped out of eternity, came and walked across this earth, it's by his stripes that we are healed. The work of the Savior. And then we move on as we look at the submission of the Savior. The submission of the Savior. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. It says that he was oppressed.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of This is Love, foretold by the prophets. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This is Love, foretold by the prophets, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This is Love, foretold by the prophets. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This is Love, foretold by the prophets. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.